Such a great job. And so glad that you're here today. Today we're going to pick up where we left off last week. We're in the book of 1 Peter. And so we're going to pick up where we left off last week. Last week, Peter was instructing the church. How many of you know the church needs to be instructed sometimes? We don't like to be told what we're doing wrong. We don't like to be told what we need to do. We just want to live our life. We want to do the way that we want to do. We want to follow our flesh. We want to follow our desires. We want to follow the example that was laid out for us from our parents. But sometimes we all, me included, need to be instructed, and we need the Word of God to bring us back and line us up with the will of God. Instruction is a good thing. How many of you have children and you know sometimes you got to instruct your children? Come on, somebody. We are all children of God and sometimes we need to be instructed. And so I love the fact in the book of 1 Peter, Peter's dealing with some real issues. Peter is instructing the church, and he challenged us last week that we have to watch and we have to be on guard against the passions of our flesh. How many know our flesh will destroy us? The passions of our flesh, our lust, our jealousy, our pride, our anger, all these things, they will come in. Our pity, our shame, our worthiness, these things of the flesh that we want to take on us, they will destroy us and drive us away from the will of God. We have to guard against the flesh, and we have to live in the Spirit. Today we're going to take a look at how Peter instructs the church on their conduct. How Peter instructs the church on our conduct, on how we live, on how we act, on how we speak, on how we respond. How many of you know, as a follower of Jesus Christ and as a representative of our Lord and Savior, it matters how we conduct ourselves on the other 6 days of the week besides the day that we show up for church. It's easy to show up at church. It's easy to get up and go, you know what? I got that new shirt that I'm going to wear over there, you girls. Come on, son, girls. I got that new shirt, and I got those new heels, and it's easy for us to show up as men and go, I got these James Nutty boots, and I'm going to wear it. It's easy to show up on Sunday. We put on this good conduct. We put a smile on our face. We tell everyone that we're blessed and highly favored. We come and we want to worship God. It is easy to show up on Sunday morning and conduct ourselves like we have been changed and like we are not the person that we used to be. But come Monday morning, come Wednesday morning, come Friday afternoon, come 5 o'clock on Friday, come Saturday night, Peter's going to instruct us, we're going to see today, that the way that we conduct ourselves, the way that we conduct our marriage, the way that we teach our children to conduct themselves, that our conduct matters in this world. 1 Peter chapter 2, if you got your Bible, you can turn there. Your phone, your iPad, your device, whatever you use. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to read verses 12 and 13, and then we'll pray and see what the Lord would challenge us all with. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 12. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. Keep your conduct honorable. So that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject to the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, challenge us. Holy Spirit, encourage us. Holy Spirit, raise us up. Speak to us directly about our conduct, Lord. We need you. We want to be better. We want to give more. Speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, our conduct. Can I ask you something? We sang these songs a while ago, and they were so good. And Naomi, when she sang, she reminded us about how God has moved mountains in our lives. Let me just ask you something. Has the Lord moved any mountain in your life? Has the Lord removed any mountain? Has he moved it out of the way? A mountain, an obstacle that your grandparents couldn't get over, that your parents couldn't get over, but somehow you in this moment, in this season, in this generation that you live, you trusted in God, and this mountain and this generational curse has been removed, and God has taken you to greater heights. Has anybody in this place seen the power of God move mountains in your life? If God has done anything for you and for me, shouldn't you and I want to obey his word and conduct ourselves in a way that brings glorifies God? Shouldn't we want to? Shouldn't we want to? Peter says to us, can I be real with y'all? Our conduct matters, Roni. Our conduct, the way you live, Shay Fagan, it matters. Oglesfeld, Gina. It matters the way you conduct yourself at church, the way you conduct yourself at school, the way you conduct yourself at your job. It matters, Coy. It matters, Billy Lamb. It matters, John Dixon. Doc, when you're Pal Peyton Cows. It matters how we conduct ourselves, Sneed. It matters how we conduct ourselves when we're living in the world. It matters. It makes a difference. It matters to the people that we go to church with. It matters, because I want to be in the fight with somebody whose life lines up with what they say they believe. Come on, y'all. How many know we're in a fight and we're all in this together? And I don't want to be in a fight with some flake. Come on, y'all. I want to be in the fight and in the war with somebody that doesn't just say they believe on Sunday, but somebody that walks it out and lives it out and believes it every day. I want to lock arms with them and fight the good fight of faith. But more than how much it matters, our conduct matters to the people we go to church with, our conduct matters to the people outside of the church. Don't forget there's people outside of the church. Don't forget that there's people that are living in darkness right now. Don't forget that there's people that don't know the Jesus that you know. Don't forget that there are people that were born into rape, that were born into dysfunction. Don't forget there is a world out there that is messed up and hurting and broken, and they need the same Jesus that you and I need. Don't forget that the way that we conduct ourselves represents our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those folks may never come to church. They may never hear Conrad sing that song. They may never watch Katie Grace play that piano. They may never listen to me play listen to me preach, but they will see your life and your marriage and your conduct and listen to your tongue and watch what you post on social media, and the way that we live and our conduct will affect people that are living in darkness. Can we just talk about that for a minute? Because it matters. Can we talk about our conduct? Can we talk about, I'm going to say it because it's on my mind, it's on my heart. Social media. You better watch what you post on social media, because what you post on social media is a direct reflection of the conduct and the life that you live outside of this church. And I'm just telling you, I like social media too. Social media is for fun. And there's a lot of people that I know that I had a previous life with, and I don't see them, and they've moved off, and I don't get to watch their kids grow up. But I can look on Facebook, and I can look on Instagram, and I can see their children growing up. And it can be a good thing. But can I tell you, sometimes we get a little loose on what we post on social media. And what we post on social media, the entire world is watching. And we better make sure that we don't become a stumbling block to people that don't know Jesus, and we better make sure that everything we post on social media glorifies God and draws people to the cross of Jesus Christ, because we will be held accountable for our conduct and for what we post on social media. Just telling you like it is, y'all. Once we're saved, man, how many are saved in this place today? Once we're saved, our main goal in life should be to shine the light of Jesus Christ, and our main goal in life should be to bring others to the salvation that God offers to all of mankind. We should, once we've been saved, go, you know what, now I'm going to line my conduct up with the word of God to bring glory to God. How many of you know? Light shines the brightest in the darkest of places. How many know there's an all-out war in our world right now? Everywhere we look, the churches are fighting, the people are fighting, the politicians are fighting, and our government is fighting, and our nation is fighting, and we're fighting with wars overseas. Everywhere we go, there's a fight. It's the Democrats against the Republicans. It's the elephants against the donkeys. It's the left against the right. It's the Baptist against the Assemblies of God. It's the conservative against the liberals, and all those things are true. But the bottom line is, and the root of all of it, is there is a spiritual war going on out there. Darkness against light, good against evil. Have you noticed that this is not the America that I grew up in? Any of you, does that alarm you? It should. This ain't Mayberry any y'all anymore, y'all. This ain't Leave It to Beaver, Beaver Cleaver. Come on, somebody. This is not Andy Griffith. Our world is different. And can I tell you, that alarms me because I have a 12-year-old. That alarms me. Our world is, how many would agree with me that as we look at our world, there is a rage and a hate and an anger and a rebellion towards Christ and Christ followers? We would be ignorant not to be able to notice that and recognize that. And my question is this, why is that? Why is there such hate for the Bible? Why is there such hate for the Ten Commandments? Why is there such hate for Christians nowadays? And I'm going to be honest with you and tell you the truth. I believe it's because Christ followers talk a big talk but fail to walk the walk. Let's be honest, okay? Let's quit blaming everybody else. Because we say we believe one thing, and we're very judgmental, and we're very opinionated, and we're very vocal about a lot of things that we say that we believe. But when the world looks at our conduct and our marriage and our habits and the way that we're living our life, what we say that we believe doesn't line up with our conduct. And that makes us a hypocrite, and that makes the world look at us and go, they're fake, and they're phony, and they're full of crap. It just does. It is what it is. Remember, Peter's talking to the church here. That's you and me, the believers. And he says, if we keep our conduct honorable, even our enemies will see our actions and God will get the glory. Honorable. What does it mean to have honorable conduct? Honorable means this, morally right. Do you know that in our world today, people believe that you can be a Christian and still continue to live an immoral life. I can continue down the road of homosexuality. I can continue down the road of living with my spouse without entering into the covenant of marriage. I can continue to go to church and show up and claim to be a Christian, yet all of my values go against the Word of God. If we're going to be honorable in our conduct, we have to be morally right. We have to be virtuous, honest. I am going to be real with y'all. I'm amazed at the number of folk that come to church that will look you in the eye and lie to your face. I know being honest is probably old-fashioned, but come on, y'all. That we should know the truth and the truth should set us free. It's time that we start living honorably and being honest about everything all the time. Ethical, respectable, devoted, hardworking. Our conduct should be honorable. I believe this with all of my heart. If we start living this way, if our conduct becomes honorable, it'll be a game changer for your life. It'll be a game changer. Game changer for you, game changer for your marriage, game changer for your children, game changer for the place that you work, game changer for the church. It'll be a game changer. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to tell you to be perfect. We can't be perfect. None of us can be perfect, but we can keep our conduct honorable. How many of you would agree with me and say, I can be more honorable in my conduct? Say a good amen. Can I tell you something a little bit about me right quick? I've made lots of mistakes over the years. I really have. Like I'm being honest. Like I make mistakes on a weekly basis. Can I tell you something? I struggle with losing my temper. Shut up, Will. And when I lose my temper, I lose my tongue. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Can I tell you something? As pastor for 23 years, I've made a lot of people mad over the years. because of things I've preached and because of things I've said. You know what? I've hurt some people's feelings over the years. I've caused some people to leave Bethel and to leave the church over the years. And for some of those times, I was dead wrong. And I'm willing to admit that I was dead wrong. And for the times that I'm wrong, that I was wrong, I have apologized. And I apologize again today. I'm sorry. Other times, I've made people mad and I've hurt their feelings and I've caused them to leave Bethel. And you know what? I was not wrong at all. I was just preaching the absolute truth and people did not like that. And they got offended over it. And for those times, I do not apologize. But here's the deal. I got a very strong personality. I am very, very opinionated. I speak what is on my mind. I preach the unapologetic truth. I don't mind confrontation, and I will do most anything I can to stop problems and stop troubles right now. But here's the deal. Even though I've hurt some people's feelings, and even though I've made some people mad, and even though I've done some things wrong, here's the deal. People cannot deny that I have given my life. I have given my every effort to live an honorable life, to be honest, and to be upright, and to be sincere, and to be virtuous, and to be respectable, and to work really hard, and to love God, and love other people. People cannot deny that I've tried to conduct myself according to the word of God. And my prayer is that my conduct, not my preaching that will change people. I am not one of the greatest pulpiteers and the deepest theological, most spiritual guys, but I pray that my conduct, just Cody being Cody, willing to admit imperfections, willing to admit when you're wrong, walking in humility, loving people that even don't love you, but standing up and telling the truth. I pray that my conduct has glorified God and it has drawn more people to the cross of Jesus Christ. What we do will change the world more than what we say. And Peter is challenging us. Peter also refers to our conduct, but he refers to the laws of the land as well. How many of you know, as Christ followers, Bible believers, we got to obey the laws of the land. We got to obey the cops. Come on, y'all, they make me mad sometimes, but we got to obey them, right? We got to obey the laws of the land. We got to obey the rules that are in place. How many of you know, if we want honorable conduct, we must be subject to our employers. That's getting down to the nitty-gritty, nut-cutting, everyday stuff, y'all. If we're going to have conduct that honors Christ, Christ has put our employers in a position. God put them there, and we went to work for them. And yeah, they may be aggravating, and yeah, they may speak downgrading to you sometimes, but you are in a position, and I am in a position, that we must honor them and treat them with respect. Y'all got quiet. School, can I tell you something, children? School. When you go to school, you got to respect your teachers. Have you seen how disrespectful our youth and our school children are nowadays towards teachers and administrators and principals? And I get it that some of the people, there's a lot of great people and good Christian people that work in our school system, but there's a lot of nuts in the school system too. But I'm telling you, our children are disrespectful and they don't treat people honorably. Parents, it is our job to raise up our children and teach them to conduct themselves with honor. Children, you got to be subject to your parents. Children have to be subject to their parents. You know what? Can I tell you something else? Can we just get a little deeper? You got to be subject to the church you attend. You just do. It's spiritual authority. It's spiritual headship. You can't. It's just what it is. Peter's saying you got to be honorable in all that you do. Peter goes on to say this, even the people that speak negatively against us. How many of you got any haters? If you don't, that's okay. I have enough for me and you both. It's okay. And it's a battle for me because there's some folk talk negative against me. They some people that used to like me and used to love me, and because I've made a stand about the truth or made a stand about the word of God, now all of a sudden they don't like me and they don't treat me with honor. And in my flesh, I want to tell them KMA, big boy and big girl. Y'all will get that later when you get home today. That's just my flesh. But in the spirit, I have to conduct myself towards my enemies, because Jesus says everybody can love those that love them. But you know what? You are called to be a Christian, and we must love even our enemies and treat them honorably. Oh, y'all got quiet again, didn't you? Treat them honorably. 1 Peter 2:15. 1 Peter 2:15 says, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you will put to silence the ignorance of foolish people." Your haters, my haters, haters of the faith, haters of the Word of God, haters of our old-fashioned Christianity, if we would just line up and do good, walk in honesty, walk in character, watch what comes out of our mouth, watch where we spend the night, watch what we do. If we would just walk in the goodness of God, even the foolish and ignorant people of the world wouldn't have anything bad to say about us, because actions speak louder than words. I am preaching the paint off the walls today. Let me ask you, how's your conduct? How's your conduct at home with your family? How's your conduct where you work? How's your mouth? What comes out of your mouth? How's your actions? How's your social media page? I'm checking y'all out this afternoon. I'm looking on all of your social media page. Our conduct matters, church. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor everyone. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Boy, that's a struggle, because it's hard to love some of y'all here. Can I hear a good amen? Honor, honor, honor everyone. Honor the Muslims, honor the Arabs, honor the red, yellow, black, and white, honor the male, honor the female, honor the Baptist, honor the Church of Christ, honor everyone, honor the gay, honor the transgender, honor the left, honor the right. The Bible says that you and I are called to honor everyone. That does not mean that we have to agree with them. That does not mean that we have to believe the same thing that they believe. But it means this: all men were created by God. All women were created by God. And we must love them and speak to them and treat them with honor. How many believe our world would be changed if we all honored one another? I love this. Amen. Thanks, man. Me and you, buddy, we're running this together right here. Peter goes on to say this, and boy, this is going to be good. Peter goes on into 1 Peter chapter 3 and talks about conduct. And you know what he talks about in 1 Peter chapter 3? The conduct of wives. The conduct of wives, soon-to-be wives, wannabe wives, future wives. Let's see what Peter says, 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3, talking about conduct. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 4. Likewise, he says, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of your hair and the putting on of gold and jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. How many of you men thankful for your husbands? I got to make sure y'all are awake on me right now. How many of you men are thankful for your wives? Let me hear you say a good amen. How many of you agree with me? I wouldn't be where I am without my wife. Sometimes she drives me crazy, but I need her. Come on, y'all. I tell her all the time, I wouldn't take $1 million for you, but I wouldn't give a nickel for another one just like you either. Our wives are our helpmeets. Our wives are our helpers. Let me ask you a question, wives. How many of you are thankful for your husbands in here today? Oh, you men did better than the women did, let me just say that. Husbands are here to protect, to provide, to love, and to lead. Sometimes us husbands get it wrong. But in the words of Tammy Wynette, sometimes it's hard to be a woman. Giving all of your love to just one man, you'll have bad times and he'll have good times doing things you just don't understand. But if you love him, you'll forgive him, even though he's hard to understand. And if you love him, oh, be proud of him, because after all, he's just a man. And Tammy said, stand by your man. Give him two arms to cling to and something warm to come home to. When nights are cold and lonely, stand by your man and show the world you love him. Keep giving him all the love you can. Stand by your man. Look at your wife and say, hey, baby, you need to stand by me. Peter says this, poor Marley, no doubt. Peter says the conduct of wives can change their husbands. The conduct of wives can change their husbands. And Peter goes on to say that even the conduct of a wife can cause a non-believing husband to be converted to Christianity simply by their conduct. Now, we can't leave this out, y'all, because it might be touchy and because you might be sensitive and because this might be a feminist world that we're living in. We can't talk about the conduct of Christians and then leave out what Peter says when he's talking about the conduct of their wives, because wives, your conduct matters and can change a man. Wow, you've been wanting to change us forever, and it's only by your conduct. So wives, soon to be wives, want to be wives, I would say to you, take notice today to the word of the Almighty God. Anger will not change your husband. Nagging will not change your husband. Manipulation will not change your husband. Cutting your husband off will not change your husband. Provoking them to anger will not change them. Talking down to them will not change them. Telling them how they are not like your father will not change them. Your conduct of a pure heart, of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is pleasing to God, will ultimately change the husbands in your life. Let me tell you a story about my nanny Jean. I love my nanny Jean. My granddaddy Donald and my nanny Jean, they're like kind of raised me. My granddaddy Donald, he was a knucklehead. My grandmother, she loved my granddaddy. My granddaddy told the best stories, man. He had cow punching stories, ranching stories, horse training stories, and he would tell them. And him and my grandmother were married for 60 years, and she could finish the stories for my granddad. But when my granddad would tell a story, she would sit there with a smile on her face and a sparkle in her eye and listen to that story like it was the first time she had ever heard that story. But my granddad was a knucklehead. And one time we were working cattle, and he ran across some flat rocks, and a horse fell on him, and it broke his foot. We had to cut his boot off that day, and finally took him to the doctor, and they put a cast on his leg. And my granddad, he was just claustrophobic anyway. He just always nervous, just act about like Cole Hatfield anyway, just going 100 miles an hour, couldn't stand it and all that. And so one night in the middle of the night, after he'd had that cast about a week, he told my grandmother, Jean, I am going to the barn and I'm cutting this cast off of my foot. And they go to the barn, and her in her nightgown and him in his underwear. And I remember she had the hacksaw and she was sawing on that son of a buck like this. And then he finally went and got some tin snips because they had to get around his ankle, and he was afraid she was going to saw his ankle bone in two. And so him and his whitey-tighty Hanes underwear and her in her little nightgown and the hacksaw and the tin snips, I never will forget how they cut that cast off of his foot that night. You say, Cody, what the heck? Why are you telling me that story? And I'm telling you that story because my grandmother didn't tell him how dumb that was. She didn't tell him how stupid that was. She didn't tell him that the doctors knew more than he knew. And she didn't tell him he shouldn't be doing that. She was simply his helpmate, and she was loving him, and she respectingly helped him do what he wanted to do. Her conduct softened my old granddaddy's heart over the years. And that's what Peter's telling us right here. He's telling the wives. It's your conduct. Can we just talk about this for a minute? Gentle and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, very precious. Gentle and quiet spirit. I love to watch you husbands and wives looking at each other in the middle of this sermon right here, right now. It's what the Word of God says. It ain't my way. It ain't an old-fashioned way. It's the Word of God. It's precious in the eyes of God. When we act that way, let's talk about something else, because this is real stuff. 1 Peter 3, 3 through 4, do not let your adorning be external. It's not about the braiding of hair or jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be in the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty. Look at me right quick. I got to say this, and I know I'm getting long-winded, but I got to tell you this. Some of you ain't told your daughters this, and so I'm going to tell your daughters for you today. It's okay for you to braid your hair. It ain't none of that crap. You ain't got to wear your hair in a bun, no makeup, no earrings, and wear shirts down to here and up to here. You know what that does? It makes you hot and ugly. That's all it does. Has nothing to do with your holiness. It is okay for you girls and you women to look cute and to look pretty and to braid your hair and put a pair of earrings on, but do not let that be the defining thing of your life. And there's a generation of young women out there, and young women, you need to know that it is not about showing your body or your boobs or your butt off that makes you valuable and that makes you precious and that makes you pretty. That will make some guy look at you. But let me tell you something. You don't want a guy to just look at you. You want a guy to fall in love with you because of who you are on the inside, because you are beautiful, because you are living your life according to the Word of Almighty God. Somebody needs to teach this generation to cover it up. Cover it up, cover it up, cover it up. When you get married, baby, you can be a lamb in the kitchen and a lion in the bedroom. But until then, cover yourself up. Respect yourself. Conduct yourself with honor. Because young woman, listen to me. If you don't respect yourself and if you don't honor yourself, no one else will respect you or honor you as well. It's okay to look pretty. Conrad, come help me close. These women are looking at me like, Cody, you got to shut up today. Our conduct matters. Our conduct, the way we live, matters. Wives, can I tell you something today? You know why God speaks to you in this? Because you are so important in this world. Don't let this, don't take on this mentality of, oh, they're talking bad about wives and not talking about the men. No. Wives, you are so precious and you're so valuable, and we need you. God called men. God created men first, and God called men to be the spiritual leaders, but God also made a helpmeet to come along, and we need you. The world needs you. So don't take this as a hit or a blow. Take this as a push and a challenge to say, I'm going to conduct myself according to the Word of God and not according to the ways of the world. Today, the world is full of feminism. Today, the world says this, every woman has to be heard and every woman has to have an opinion and all that. You know what? I get it. The Word of God says, wives, conduct yourself according to inner beauty. To you and I, to us men, students, our conduct matters, y'all. You get it? God's moved mountains. If he's done anything for you, stop. Stop playing some silly game of I can go to church on Sunday and then lose my crap on Tuesday and act like I want to act and say what I want to say and live where I want to live and drink what I want to drink and smoke what I want to smoke and sleep with what I want to sleep with and gossip with what I want to gossip with. There comes a time when our conduct has to line up with our faith. At that moment, can I tell you something? When you and I start living honorable lives, it will bless us. Because how many of you know, let's be real, I got a little rebel in me. Can I hear a good amen? But when I do what's right and honorable in the sight of God, it brings a satisfaction and joy to me. Doing what's right in the eyes of God will always bless us, and it makes us feel good in the end. Honorable conduct will bless those around you. Me and the best friend I've got were having a discussion this week about our children. It's cool to see your children do the honorable and good things that they've seen you do. But it's a check in the old heart when you see Will and Jesse and Clara do the things that Dad did that aren't really good and aren't really right, and you see that your conduct matters because it leads them down a dark place. Doing what's right blesses us. Doing what's right and honorable blesses those around us. Doing what is honorable will silence your enemies and your haters. The fruit of our life, they cannot deny. Most of all, honorable conduct will bring glory to God. So stand on your feet. Let's close our eyes, and I would just ask you these questions in the end as we close. How is your conduct? How do you conduct your business? How do you act on the job? What comes out of your mouth? How's your conduct? What's on your social media page? This is a check from Peter to the church to say you got to rein it in and you got to live what you say you believe. So I'm just going to pray and let the Lord do business with you. Holy Spirit, begin to move. No guilt, no condemnation, no unworthiness, no shame today. Just a word of encouragement from the Spirit of God to convict us where we need to maybe make some changes. Convict us of our conduct. Speak to our wives about their value. Speak to young women about their value and what makes them beautiful and what makes them attractive and what makes them precious in the eyes of God. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Come on, let's sing.